Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, we'll read verses 37 through 40. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, this morning our preacher, Lord, through the word of God, reminded us just how much you love us. Lord, thank you for that. There's no way that we could love you enough. Lord, tonight, again, our preacher will give us the word of God. Lord, I hope that when this day's over, you'll look down and say that you had a good day because of what happened here in our church. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Now, Brother Bush, if you would make sure that one of those, now be careful, we don't want them to fall apart. One of those goes to every person, one to every man, one to every lady. Brother Renzen, you awake over there? Good. Make sure everybody gets one magic marker. All right? You're doing a good job. Now, here's what's going to happen. These four couples are going to help us with this game. And the way the game works is it's a Valentine game for married couples. I'm going to ask a question. They're going to answer it. They're going to answer it using a gospel hymn. You'll see how it works. It's not real hard. And now what we'll do is I'll ask the question. I'll direct the question properly. When I ask you the question and you write your answer, I'll give you a choice, A, B, C, or D. And all you have to do is write the proper letter. Ladies, you're going to do the very same thing. But what you're going to do is you're going to face away from your man so he can't see. And we're going to see how often you match. Very, very simple. We'll see how well you know each other. And you'll enjoy this. Now, I have some prizes. We have a box of candy that looks like this. For the second and third and fourth place, all right? Then we have a box of candy that looks like this for first place. And it would be good for you to have a comeback this week. All right, now, Brother Bush is going to keep score. Mr. Scorekeeper, you have a way to keep score up there. Fantastic. Okay, ladies, here's what we'll do. In just a moment, I'm going to have you sit down, and then you'll face the choir. I'm letting the men face the crowd. You can't hint. You can't grunt. You can't make noises to help each other. I want you to use your magic marker, and I want you to write large enough so that when we compare, the crowd can see it. So don't write real, real little. Write real, real big on your page, okay? Each one of you have enough cards for each answer. And here we go, ladies. You go ahead and have a seat. Ladies, when I call upon you for your answer, I'll have you stand and hold your answer above your husband's head. Here is the very first question. Describe your spouse using one of these four hymns. Now, here we go. Men, you're describing your wife. You're describing your wife. Ladies, you're trying to match your husband's answer on how he would describe you. Okay? Men, you're describing your wife. Ladies, you're trying to figure out how he'll describe you. Here are your options. A, sweeter as the days go by. B, only a sinner. C, how great thou art. And D, isn't she wonderful? A, sweeter as the days go by. B, only a sinner. C, how great thou art. And D, isn't she wonderful? Write your letter real big. Men, ladies, get your letter written. And here we go. We're going to start. Mrs. Davis, I want you to stand up. Show us your answer. She thinks he's going to say, sweeter as the days go by, Brother Davis, and we have a match. Good job. Josh, Cheyenne, stand up if you will. Show us your card. She said D, and Josh said A plus. It don't matter how many pluses you put on there, buddy. You're wrong. Here we go. Mrs. Greenlee, how did you describe him? B, only a sinner. Brother Greenlee, what did you say? He said, isn't she wonderful? Isn't she a wonderful sinner? This works out just fantastic. Okay, Mrs. Calling, stand up and show us your answer. She said, sweeter as the days go by. A, Brother Calling. He said, D, isn't she wonderful? Here we go. Next question, men. Go to your next page. Here we go. Men, describe your mother-in-law's cooking. Describe your mother-in-law's cooking. Ladies, remember, he is describing your mother's cooking. All right, here are your options. A, come and dine. B, the solid rock. C, he is able to deliver thee. And D, born to die. Okay, A, come and dine. B, the solid rock. C, he is able to deliver thee. Or D, born to die. All right, we'll start at this end this time. Everybody, make sure you've got it written down. And we're going to start with Mrs. Calling. Mrs. Calling, stand and describe to you what he would call your mother-in-law's cook or your mother's cooking. We have A, come and dine. Brother Calling? A, come and dine. We have a match. Mrs. Greenlee, stand for us and show us what you've got. A, come and dine. Brother Greenlee, A, come and dine. We've got another match. Cheyenne, stand and show us what you've got. A, he has no choice. A, come and dine. See, these folks that don't have mom here, they're better shape. You better suck her up there, Josh. You'll be in trouble, buddy. Here we go. Mrs. Davis, stand and show us what we have. A. And Ed Davis says A. Excellent. Here we go. Question number 3. Men, describe what it's like to visit at your in-laws. Describe what it's like to visit at your in-laws. Now, ladies, remember, he is describing what it's like to go to your family. Okay, here we go. Here are your descriptions. A, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. B, constantly abiding. C, sound the battle cry. And D, God will take care of you. A, oh, happy day. B, constantly abiding. C, sound the battle cry. D, God will take care of you. Men, you're describing going to your wife's family. Ladies, he's describing coming to you. We'll start down here with Brother Davis. Mrs. Davis, show us what you have. She has B, constantly abiding, and he said C, sound the battle cry. Cheyenne, stand and show us what you say. A, oh, happy day. He said, sound the battle cry. Mrs. Greenlee, yeah. Mrs. Greenlee, show us what you have. She says in A, oh, happy day. He said, D, God will take care of you. Mrs. Calling, show us what you say. A, oh, happy day. A, oh, happy day. Here we go. Number 4, describe your wife's response when you propose to her. Describe your wife's response when you propose to her. Ladies, you're describing your response. He's describing your response. Here we go. Here are your options. A, I'm bound for the promised land. B, I'd rather have Jesus. C, almost persuaded. And D, what a day that will be. A, I'm bound for the promised land. B, I'd rather have Jesus. C, almost persuaded. And D, what a day that will be. What's the question? Describe your wife's response when you proposed. Your wife's response when you proposed to her. You got it, Brother Greenlee? Pressure's on. The pressure's on. We're going to start down here with Brother Calling. Mrs. Calling, show us what you have. She said, D, what a day that will be. He said, A, I'm bound for the promised land. Mrs. Greenlee, show us what you say. She says, A, I'm bound for the promised land. His guess was right. I'm bound for the promised land. Excellent. Cheyenne, show us what you have there. A, I'm bound for the promised land. He said, A, I hope I'm bound for the promised land. It's another match. Mrs. Davis, show us what you have. It's an A, I'm bound for the promised land. And Ed Davis has an A. Good job. Here we go. Question number 5. Remember, folks, this isn't just a game. We're giving away candy. Candy. Oh, yeah. Sweetest thing that's happened to you in days. Here we go. Question number 5. Men, describe your family's reaction when you got engaged to your wife. Ooh. Remember, to lie is a sin. But there is forgiveness, so you need to remember that, too. Here we go. Men, describe your family's reaction when you got engaged. Now, ladies, remember, you're describing his family's reaction when you got engaged. Here are your options. A, and can it be? B, to God be the glory. C, joy to the world. D, throw out the lifeline. A, and can it be? B, to God be the glory. C, joy to the world. And D, throw out the lifeline. We're going to start down here on this end. Mrs. Davis, are you ready back there? Here we go. She's going to show us her answer. She said, B, to God be the glory. He said, D, throw out the lifeline. Cheyenne, stand and show us. She said, B, to God be the glory. He said, B, to God be the glory. Good job. Mrs. Greenlee, what did they think? And here it is. C, joy to the world. And he said, C, joy to the world. Mrs. Calling, show us what you have there. She said, C, joy to the world. And he said, C, joy to the world. Now, folks, just so you know, we have right now, we're getting ready for our 6th question. At the end of 6, we're going to be done if we have a winner. If we have a tie, we have a tiebreaker question. We're going to start on this end. Here is your 6th question for the evening. Describe how your spouse reacts after an argument. Describe how your spouse... How does your wife respond after an argument? Ladies, you are guessing how he thinks you behave after an argument. Here we go. Here are your options. A, hallelujah, 'tis done. B, the fight is on. C, I surrender all. And D, I shall not be moved. Here they are again, describing your wife's reaction after a disagreement. A, hallelujah, 'tis done. B, the fight is on. C, I surrender all. And D, I shall not be moved. You put your answer down. Take your time. Pray about it. Think about it. Let the Spirit move you. All right, we're going to start on Mrs. Cowling's end. Mrs. Cowling, stand and tell us what your answer is. She said, C, I surrender all. He said, A, hallelujah, 'tis done. Close, but no cigar. All right, let's move down here. Brother Greenlee, you're next. Mrs. Greenlee, show us what you have there. She said, D, I shall not be moved. He said, C, I surrender all. Cheyenne, what do you have on your page? She says, C, I surrender all. Josh said, C, I surrender all. This is it. Mrs. Davis, here we go. She has C, I surrender all. He said, A, hallelujah, 'tis done. Now, Brother Bush, I just need one winner. Let's find out where we're at on this thing. Can you tell me how many correct answers do the Cowlings have? 3. Good. That's 50%. How many correct answers do the Greenlees have? 3. That's good. 50%. How many correct answers do the Smiths have? 4. That's good. That's better than 50%. And then finally, how many correct answers do the Davises have? 3. That means Josh and Cheyenne are our winners. Don't move yet. Let me do this one last question for the fun of it. Truly, the winner are the Smiths. Brother Bush, you go ahead and help me get that candy ready. And remember, the Smiths get the big box. Everybody else gets the little box. We're going to do one more because this is just so much fun. Here we go. What song would you prefer to hear your wife sing? What song would you prefer to hear your wife sing? Ladies, this is what song he wants to hear you sing. Question or answer number one, A, we have heard the joyful sound. B, on a hill far away. C, the still small voice. And D, go tell it on a mountain, dear. Here they are again. A, we've heard the joyful sound. B, on a hill far away. C, the still small voice. And D, go tell it on the mountain. Ladies, it's what song he'd like to hear you sing. Men, it's what song you'd like to you would like to hear your wife sing. We've heard the joyful sound. A, B, on a hill far away. C, still small voice. And D, go tell it on the mountain. And we'll start with the Davises. Mrs. Davis, what's your answer? What would he like to hear? She said D, go tell it on the mountain. He said A, we've heard the joyful sound. Cheyenne, what is your answer? A, we have heard the joyful sound. He said D, go tell it on the mountain. Obviously, you ladies think you sing better than what you sing. Here we go. Mrs. Greenlee, what's the answer? She has A, we heard the joyful sound. He has D, go tell it on the mountain. Brother Greenlee, who's helping you? It's faith. He's blaming faith. I see. Here we go. Mrs. Cowling, what's your answer? A, we've heard the joyful sound. He said, A, we hear the joyful sound. Folks, you can go ahead and put your cards down, put your markers down. Brother Bush is going to give you your box of candy. Let's give them all a hand. Men helping me with the pulpit, come back up this way. Yeah, but all right. Get your Bibles out, everybody. Turn to the Book of Ridiculous. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, if you will. We got power? Good. All right. Matthew chapter number 22. And I'm going to talk to the married couples this evening. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. You look at it. I'm going to read it. We read it a little bit ago. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees. Notice he says, he talks about, look at that very last of that says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here Jesus says, you are to love God. He said, that's at the top of my commandment list to you. Then he said, and then you are to love people. Now I say this often. Two things that we're to do in life is to love God and love people. That's what our life is all about. Did you know there is a Bible truth that is equal to all the other major doctrines, but yet is not often perceived as a major doctrine at all? Did you know that it is so important, this doctrine that I speak of tonight, that the value of the other teachings are dependent on it? Did you hear what it said here? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Listen, since a successful marriage must be based on scriptural principles, it's obvious that a couple must practice the one principle then that supports all the others. Listen to me, folks. God said, at the top of my commandment list to you as a Christian is you are to love God. Then he said, very next thing, you're to love the brethren. You're to love people. Now, listen to me, if you will. Listen to these verses. John 15:17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure and with a pure heart and fervently." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous." 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Listen, I believe this. God said, at the top of my commandment list is that you are to love God. And we know that. You and I are to love God. Then he said, very next thing, he said, next commandment I want to give you, next on the list, is to make sure that you love the brethren. But wait a minute. These commandments, he said, support all the others. The command to love fellow Christians is second only in importance to loving God. And I believe that one spouse should come before all other of the brethren. If Christ commands us to love one another, it is one spouse, or one, it is our responsibility as married people to make sure at the top of our love list when it comes to loving the brethren is your mate. You say, why would you say that? I know people that treat folks in the church better than they treat their own mate. It's amazingly common that so many Christians speak glowingly of loving the brethren, but don't seem to realize that your husband or wife, they are among the brethren. See, it's not right to love fellow believers without giving your first love and your best love to the believer called your mate, to your husband or to your wife. I think then, you and I are to number one, love God. We are to number two, love the brethren. At the top of your list of the person among the brethren that you are to love, it should be your husband or it should be your wife. You should not love somebody else in the church more than you love your husband. You should not love somebody else in the church more than you love your wife. This love, God said, first of all, I command at the top of my command list is that you love me. He said, secondly, I command that you love the brethren, but I'll guarantee you he expected me and you to put our spouses all the way at the top of our love list. Hey, did you know your husband or wife, they are a part of the brethren. So we are to love our mates first. We are to love our children first. We're to love those in our family first. And they're to get a priority kind of love from us. And so, we've got to be careful, folks. We've got to be careful. I know this happens. We'll come to church and we'll treat others better than we treat our own husbands. We'll come to church and treat others better than we treat our own wives. We'll come to church and treat other people's children better than we'll treat our own children. And God said, I command that you, number one, love me. I command, number two, that you love the brethren. But let's face it, folks, he intended for our spouses to be at the top of our brethren list. And we're to love our husbands and wives more and better, more thoroughly, with more gentleness and kindness than we love anybody else in the church. I'm going to give you some very practical. I'm going to give you a scripture. I'm going to give you just a little thought, a little truth, a principle with each scripture. And I want to talk to us about husbands and wives following the top two commandments. Love God. Love the brethren. Love your spouse at the top of your love, your brethren love list. I'll give you some things that will help you with it. First of all, number one. It's the mark of discipleship for us to love one another. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Here, God is virtually saying the mark or the trademark of a Christian is the loving of the brethren. Hey, well, if I'm to love the brethren, and my love is to be a reflection of the fact that I'm a born-again Christian, would your lack of love towards your spouse cause someone to think you're unsaved? Think about that for a minute. If somebody were looking at you, trying to figure out if you were saved on the basis of the kind of love you have for your husband or wife, what would they say? How about right now? Right now in your marriage, if we could examine your marriage and we were going to try to figure out if you were saved based on your love for your husband or your wife, what would a stranger say? Would a stranger say it is very obvious these people that they're of God and that man loves his wife like a Christian ought to love, and that wife loves her husband like a Christian ought to love? I guess, best I could tell, they must be saved. Listen, folks, our love for the brethren is a mark of discipleship. I say in the name of Christianity, love your husband. Love your wife. Love them well. Love them deeply. Love them truly. The world ought to see our marriages. And we may not get to say to everybody in the world, "I'm a born again Christian." But they ought to look at the two of you and say, "You know what? I'll bet they're Christian. Look at how he treats her. Look at how she treats him." Our marital love should say to the world, "Those are Christians. Their marriage is a Christian marriage. I see love." Secondly, husbands and wives are to love as they are loved by Christ. I said husbands and wives are to love each other as they are loved by Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Here God's telling you and I, as married people, that we are to love each other like Christ loved the church. What did Jesus do? He gave himself. He gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. As marriage partners, we're to give ourselves to each other. We're to give ourselves. Christ gave himself for the forgiveness of our sins. Hey, that means when you look at what Jesus did for you and I, it had a whole lot to do with the forgiveness of our sins so we could live in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Those of you that are married, if you will not practice forgiveness, your home will not be a heaven on earth. It'll be a hell on earth. Jesus gave himself that we might experience the bliss of heaven through a forgiveness that was available by him to us. That means if you and I are going to love each other right, we've got to forgive, and that forgiveness will produce a heaven in our homes. Let me go on. I said, first of all, love is the first mark of discipleship in regard to Christians. People ought to look at the kind of love that we have for our spouses, and they ought to say, that's a good Christian marriage right there. Secondly, husbands and wives are to love each other as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Number three, love causes kindly affections. Love causes kindly affections. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Here it tells us of this kindly affections. Folks, in marriage, we're to be kind to one another. Might I say, if there's yelling and screaming going on between the two of you in your marriage, in your home, it needs to stop. Yes, sir. It needs to stop. You know something? I doubt that any of you have come to this church and watched two of the brethren in the hallway yelling and screaming at each other, blaming and throwing things. If you came to church and saw that, you would say, "I am disgusted." Well, wait a minute. At the top of the brethren list should be your spouse. So if I went down to the church and everybody's yelling and screaming at each other and mad at each other, I wouldn't want to go to the church. Well, you think your spouse wants to live with you when you're yelling and screaming? They are at the top of your brethren list. They're to be loved like that. It uses the word here, kindly affectioned. That word, that affectionate word there, it actually means like a devoted friend. We're not to, and you've heard me say this before, in marriage, we're not just to be lovers, we're to be friends. You've heard me say this. People say, I love my mate, but I don't like them. Well, it's time for you to like them. And may I say, it's time for some of you to become likable. Some people are hard to like. You need to become likable, but on the other hand, you are to like your mate, not just love them. And when he says be kindly affectioned, he's talking about our kindness and that we are like devoted friends and friends like each other. Let me go on. Number four. Love gives preference to the one to whom the love is given. Love gives preference to the one to whom the love is being given. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. There again, and you say, well, preacher, that's talking about among the brethren. I know. Do you know who's at the top of the brethren list if you're married? Men, at the top of the brethren list, if you're married, is your wife. And ladies, at the top of the brethren list, if you're married, is your husband. They belong at the top of the list. They ought to be treated better than anybody else among the brethren. They ought to be treated more kindly. They ought to be loved more. Why? They're at the top of your love list. And God said, top two commandments, love God, love the brethren. And at the top of your brethren love list is to be your spouse. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So what does that mean? Giving in to the preference. Giving in to the preference. Brother McLean and I, there are times when he'll take me down to the airport. And if Brother McLean and I headed to the airport, we pulled over at the gas station to get something to drink. And I said, Brother McLean, what would you like? And he said, I'd like a Pepsi. Well, I ran in to get it and I brought it back out and I got him a Dr. Pepper. You say, well, why did you do that? You're right. That'd be kind of silly. Wouldn't I want him to have his preference of drink? Sure. If I love him, it would be that way. And he would want to do the same for me. And God is saying, you and I need to learn. And we're like that. I think we're like that with the brethren. If somebody in the church, a brother in the church or a sister in the church, they prefer a little something. They say, hey, you say, let me get you a cup of coffee. How do you want your coffee? Well, give it to me with cream and sugar. You don't take it over to them black. But you know what? We'll do that among ourselves with the brethren, then turn around at home and with our spouses fuss and fight over the stupidest little things. And God said, learn to give preference to your mate. Things like the temperature in the car. He says, I'm hot. She says, I'm cold. Somebody needs to give in. The taste, whatever it is, I like it sweet. I don't like it so sweet. Somebody needs to give in. Where are we going to eat? The man says, I want meat. The woman says, I want rabbit food. I want salad. Somebody's got to give in. Folks, you and I, as brethren, we work real hard to be courteous and give preference to the brethren. But you shouldn't do that more down here at the church than what you do that at home with your husband or wife. Because your husband and wife are to be at the top of your brethren love list. And so, I said this, the first mark of discipleship is love. People ought to look at your marriage and see the kind of love that's there, and they ought to be able to say, you know something? I think that's a Christian marriage. I can tell by the way they love each other. Secondly, husbands and wives are to love each other like Christ loved the church. Thirdly, our love causes us to have kindly affections. We're to be like devoted friends, not just lovers, but friends. Fourthly, I said love gives preference to the one that the love is being given to. And I'm to give my mate their preferences. Number five, those who love find pleasure in serving each other. Those who love find pleasure in serving each other. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You say, but that said brethren. That didn't say anything about husband and wife. Well, I've got news for you. Your husband or wife is at the top of the brethren list. They're Christian. They're to be treated right. They're to be loved right. It says here, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. We should want in marriage to meet one another's needs. Here's what I think that's telling us. I think you take the church. We try to serve one another in the church. We try to make things easier on each other in the church. The other day, I pulled in with my truck out here in the parking lot, and I had 5 or 6 boxes that I needed to bring in a moment. A couple men ran out and said, "Preacher, can I help you with that? Can I help you with that?" What were they doing? They were trying to make life easier for me. That's what good Christians do. Do you know what you're supposed to do in your home? Men, you're to make life easier for your wife. You serve her and help her, and you make life easier for her. Ladies, you're to make life easier for your husband. You can tell if in a home the husband's trying to do things that makes life easier for the wife. You can tell if the wife is doing things to make things make life easier for the husband. But and you say, "Well, Brother Owens, that's just a natural. Anybody knows that." I'm going to tell you, there are marriages under the sound of my voice who will virtually try to make life harder on one another. "I'm not going to do that for him. Let him do it for himself. Let her take care of herself." That's not the Christian attitude, and that's not what love is. And I'm telling, and listen, there are some of you that will run to the aid of somebody else in this church to help them with the project to make life easier for them while you're ignoring your own spouse at home. And I'm telling you that at the top of your brethren list, you should be serving your husband or wife. That makes sense? Let's go on. Number 6. Forbearance of your mate's weaknesses is another sign of love. Forbearance of your mate's weaknesses. Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 2 says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now that doesn't mean tolerating heresies and wickednesses, but it does mean tolerating those little unique things about your spouse that irritate you. Is the word eccentricities? If you're eccentric, is that the right word? Eccentricities. You say, what does that mean? They're weird behavior. Those stupid things that they do. God is saying, you and I need, if we love, we're going to take those little weird things, those things that dig at you. You all know what I mean. I have to tell you this story. Don't worry, hon. She's sitting down there thinking, what are you going to say? Brother Hiles, I heard him tell this story. He said that Mrs. Hiles had this thing about her. She would use the ketchup or she would use the mustard. But when she would use it, and I'm talking about back before they had the little squeeze caps on it, back when you had to twist the cap off the ketchup or twist the cap off the mustard. Well, Mrs. Hiles would go use the ketchup or the mustard, but she would not screw the lid all the way on. She would just set it on top of the ketchup or on top of the mustard, put it back in the fridge. Well, Brother Hiles, he didn't like it when the ketchup or the mustard fell all the way to the bottom of the jar. So his little habit was to grab the ketchup and give it a fling like this. You fling that thing to get that ketchup, you know, get it to the neck where he wanted it. Now, that's not a good combination. When the woman won't put the lid on and the man grabs it and flings that baby to get the ketchup to the neck, he said about once a year they had to have somebody come and paint the ceiling of their kitchen. He said he'd go grab it, he'd fling it, and whew, there'd go ketchup everywhere. Week later, whew, there's mustard everywhere. About once a year, they had to have that thing, painted. Now, I don't know what those little weird tendencies and those little habits that get on your nerves, but you've got them. Now, my wife thinks this is mine. We have a trash compactor at home. I have a tendency to lay the trash on the counter above the trash compactor and not put it in. She has to follow behind me and put the trash in the compactor. I don't think I do that, like she says. You say, what's hers? She has a habit of going around the house opening cupboards or doors and not closing them. I mean, she'll go in the kitchen, get a cup or go get a spice, and she leaves the door open. So we're going around the house following each other. I'm going around shutting doors. She's going around taking care of the trash compactor. When God here is talking about forbearing one another, and God is talking about us getting along with one another, He's talking about those little weird things. And folks, you know, everybody in this church has little things that they do that could get on your nerves. And we're not talking about evil, vile, immorality. Now we're just talking about, you know, those stupid things. Well, stupid to you, not to the person that's doing them. God said, if you're going to get along with each other and you're going to live together and you're going to live together long term like marriage is really all about, you better learn how to get past some of those little things that bother you. Let's go on. Real love produces more love. Real love produces more love. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You know, you should love your mate more now than you did when you got married. It's to be growing. You're to love your mate more now, more this year than you did last year. Hey, is the love in your marriage growing? If it's not, get to work on it. Get to work on it. There's probably some married couple. You've joined our church in the last couple years. And you say, preacher, I just love the church more than ever. Boy, I love serving God more than ever. Let me ask you a question. You love your mate more than ever? Because if you do not, you are busy loving the brethren. And you should have been working a little bit more on your marriage. Because at the top of your brethren love list should be your husband or your wife. So this is what we've said thus far. The first mark of discipleship is love. Secondly, husbands and wives are to love each other like Christ loved the church. Thirdly, love causes kindly affections. That means to like, not just love. Then God tells us that love causes us to prefer our mate over ourselves. Number next, those who love find pleasure in serving one another, making life easier on one another. Next, forbearance in love is where we put up with those weaknesses. It means we make disagreements better, not worse, and we look past those little oddities about our mate. Number next, I think love produces more love. Then, the Bible tells us that love should abound. It should abound. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Our love for our mates should be abounding. Now get this. Get this. The word abound there means that it is to be in abundance. That means you're to have more than enough. That means it's to be overflowing. The word abounding there means it's in excess. It means it excels or exceeds what is needed. There's an excessive amount. See, God is saying, I ought to love my wife so much that I have more love than what she needs, not less. More. Hey, did you know that's how God loves us? God has so much love you and I can't even imagine and absorb it all. And you and I, we are to love our mates in such a way that there is excess. There's overflow. Almost like this. It just seems a little thick. You ever seen a couple that you just look at them and you say, they really love each other that much? Well, if that's sincere, we ought to admire it, not mock it. Because God said our love should abound. Let's go on. Love makes husbands and wives, they do better in life. They do better in the church. Listen, Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I believe godly love causes us to do better in the church and us to do better in the home. Here it talks about provoking unto good works. Godly love provokes or encourages husbands and wives to do good works. Good works toward each other. Good works at church. Good works in life. Good works. Hey, we're to do good works unto the brethren. But let me tell you something, folks, right off the top, right at the top of the list of the brethren is to be our mate. There have been some very, very gracious people that our friends, the missionaries from New Mexico, are here. And we've had people come up and say, boy, we want to express our love to them and thank God for them. Let me tell you something. Just like you examined our missionary friends to figure out what you could do for them, you ought to be examining your spouse to see what you can do to express love to them. At the top of your list. At the top of your list. You love provokes us unto good works. Let me move on. I don't think there's any, there's not supposed to be what we call pretending in real love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren. What does that mean? Unfeigned. That's talking about it's real. Now stay with me on this point. Unfeigned means sincere. Unfeigned means genuine. Unfeigned means not hypocritical. Unfeigned means it's not a show. Now listen to me. Do you have to put on a show concerning your marriage here at the church? Are you putting on a show in the brethren's presence to give them a better impression of your marriage than what is realistic? God said, real love is not a show. We ought to be able to behave here like we would at home. You say, that's impossible. It's something we better be working on because God said we're not to be putting on a show. You say, fine, we'll come to church and fight. No, you keep faking it at church. But the whole purpose here is for you to raise the quality of your marriage so the reality could come on out and let everybody see what's going on and it be pure and true and right. I like this. An aged farmer and his wife were leaning against the edge of their pig pen when the woman recalled that the next week would mark their golden wedding anniversary. Let's have a party, William, she suggested. Let's kill a pig. The farmer scratched his head. Gee, Betty, he finally answered. I don't see why the pig should take the blame for something that happened to both of us 50 years ago. God said, I'm going to give you a commandment, and at the top of the commandment list is going to be that you are to love me. God said, then I'm going to give you a second commandment that is like unto the first, and only preceded and loftier is the first. He said, I expect you to love God, then I expect you to love the brethren. And at the top of the brethren list, as married people, we ought to have our spouses. I think pure love is pure. And it is fervent. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart and fervently. I studied that word fervently. It's talking about loving fervently. As husband and wife, we're to love one another fervently. That means this. Fervently means to shake off anything that would try to hinder your love. Stress yourself to accomplish this kind of love. That means, folks, you'll have to fight against the flesh and shake that flesh off and shake off temptation and even those little things that could come between you and your mate. You need to work at it and shake it off and get it away from you. Stretch your emotions to keep your love intact to your spouse. That's what it means to have fervent love. Not only that. The Bible teaches that our love should be compassionate. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. The word compassion here is it's a word that means coming alongside. We, as husband and wife, we are with our love to come alongside each other. It is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. He becomes what is called our paraclete, meaning he becomes our emotional companion. That means this. When husband or wife, when one has a hurt, the other comes alongside them, helps bear the emotional load. They don't belittle them. They don't attack them about the emotion. They care about them. And they try to help bear the load of whatever has affected them emotionally. Let me go on. The Bible teaches the right kind of love is going to be courteous. And let me remind you, I'm trying to tell you that your spouse is to be at the top of your brethren list, and you're to love the brethren only second to loving God. Do you understand what you and I do? Somebody in this church, you take the point about compassion. Somebody in this church can have a loved one pass away. We run to their aid and we love on them, and we're tender and we're careful and we're gentle and we care and we love and we're willing to give them a hug and encourage them. Then at home, your mate can face some emotional turmoil and you're unbearable. You treat them like there's something wrong with them. God said, God did not want us to stop being compassionate to the brethren down at the church. He said, but you ought to be more compassionate at home than what you are down at the church. Let's go on. We're to be courteous if we really love. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There it is. We're love. And in this love, there's a courtesy. We'll go out of our way to be kind to strangers at the church. We'll go out of our way to serve the ill or the elderly or fellow church members. God said you ought to be courteous to your mate first. You know what manners are? God is saying here, we are to be mannerly in the church. There are men that will run to a door at the church to open it for a lady. But you don't run to the door to open it for your own wife. Now you're thinking your choice is, well, I'll stop opening it for the other lady then. Well, I'm thinking maybe you ought to do both. But your wife ought to be at the top of your list. Every man here, your wife is to be at the top of your list. Every woman here, your husband, is to be at the top of your list. Nobody else comes before them. Nobody. They're first in your life. We're to love the brethren. At the top of the brethren list is your husband or wife. Greater care should be given, greater courtesy and manners to your spouse than to anybody else. Let me go on. Next, the love that you and I show, I think, in our marriages, I think it directly is in relationship to the kind of love that we have for God. I really believe that. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Listen, if you don't love God right, you won't love your mate right. I said, if you don't love God right, you won't love your mate right. But may I say, if you don't love your mate right, you're probably not loving God right. Those of you that home is a hell on earth, and then you come down here and give everybody the impression you love God, there's something broken somewhere. You hear that? You, in your marriage, if there's hatefulness and lack of forgiveness and vengefulness and all of that, then you come down here to the church and you practice the exact opposite with the brethren. That's not right. That shows weakness in a church. That shows weakness in relationships. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that's talking about your mate as well. I think the best way to explain 1 John 4:11 is this, is the more we permit God to control us, the more we will love one another like we should. I started out by saying this. Listen to the verses. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's clear to us. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, number one, I command you to love me. Number two, I command you to love the brethren. At the very top of the brethren list, for any married man or any married woman, is their spouse. They ought to get the highest quality of love that you can produce. Nobody else. We're to love everybody, but they're to get the quality that we can produce. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We won't take long, but we will have an altar call. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I welcome you to the saved. Your salvation will make a difference in your marriage, by the way. If you're a husband, if you're a wife here tonight, maybe you need the altar for a moment. We've had some fun. We've played a game. We've laughed. We've sang. I'm not so interested in how you respond to the altar call. I'm interested on how you respond to the sermon. I hope you'll take home with you tonight this thing of a love for your spouse ought to exceed your love for the brethren. Maybe that's not worded quite right. I'm not asking you to back off on how you love God's people. I'm asking you to step up on how you love your spouse. Let's make sure that we do it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. If you're a husband and you need the altar, you come. If you're a wife, if you're a married couple and you need it, you can come. There's some of you. Maybe what needs to apply to you is a love for the brethren. If you don't get along with somebody down at the church, maybe you're not doing right by somebody at the church. We talked about a love for the brethren tonight. If you're not saved, why don't you come? If you're going to come, you need to come quickly. We've had a long day. I want everybody to be able to get home. I want God to do a work, but we won't stay long. The invitation won't last long. Put your husband, put your wife at the top of your love list for the brethren. God is first, your spouse, and then your children. Hey, let me tell you something. You're to love your husband or love your wife, they're at the top of your list. There's some of you, you love your kids more than you love your husband or you love your wife, and you're setting a bad example. Now, there's a unique kind of love that you ought to have for your children. I know marriages that are destroyed because they put the kids before husband and wife put each other. Long after those children are gone, you'll be living at home with that spouse. You've got to learn how to get along with them and learn how to love them. Saved and never made it public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and never been baptized, why don't you come? If you're saved and baptized and you never joined the church, you've got to come and do it. Somebody ought to let the sermon tonight save your marriage so you can stay married like you ought to. Today, marriages are treated like paper plates and styrofoam cups. We just make it disposable. Don't work out, I'll throw it away. That's never how God intended it to be. Never. Never. God said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We would love like we're to love. We wouldn't have the problems that we seem to have in marriages. Choir, one more time, please, and we'll be done. He said, I want you to love God. He said, number two, I want you to love the brethren. And as a married couple, we're instructed to put our spouse at the top of our love list. It doesn't mean we have to remove anybody else. It means our spouse should be on top. Thank you, folks. You can have a seat there.